We're starting today on Kaf Gimel Amud Bet at the bottom. Okay, so we were looking at this halacha about the muzgar and the muchlat. Okay, whether you can use a shoe that had a nega, there was either the kohen was checking it still, or it was a muchlat where he had already decided it was tzara'at. And we say that Rava Paskins, I'm a Rava, after the diyun we had about it, Hilchata achad sandal muskar, achad sandal muchlat, achad sandal shel avodat kochavim, lo tachlot, ve'im chatza chalitata kshera. Okay, so he says, right, all those, and even if it's, okay, so we were going through this list. We had the sandal shel avodat kochavim. So all these are bidyevet okay. So if you have a muchlat or a muskar, and we said that there was a special halacha when it came to them, that even though normally we would say, since it's supposed to be burned, it's as if it doesn't exist. We don't say that here because the Torah called them v'natata tabayit, and with the beged also, it said v'sarafet habeged. Okay, and it still calls it a beged. And obviously, this is drasha because it's very hard. How else is it going to call it, right? How else are you going to tell someone burn the? It's like
being formally known as,
right? Anyway, they make a drasha on it, and they say this means that they're still kayam. In which case, ideally, don't use it. But if you were to use it, it's b'tiyavet kasher. Now we have the sandal shel avodat kochavim. So what are we talking about here? Okay, Rashi says shenoalim otam letzalem beraglav kishem seinot. No, sorry. Right, no, Alim Otol Letzalem Beraglav. That's not the Rashi I want to read. Okay, basically, there's a difference of opinion here about what are we talking about. Is it that Ovei Kochavim used it, okay? Now, there's a question about whether if an Ovei Kochavim uses something and then he says, I don't want to use this anymore, do we have to burn it? Now, the assumption is, the basic stream of thought is to say that once he's mivatil, this item, he no longer wants it. So while it belongs to the Ovei Kochavim, it's supposed to be burned. But once he's mivatil, says, I don't want to use this anymore, we don't need to burn it. So if we don't need to burn it, then this is like an in-between. It's true we might need to burn it right now, but in the future we might not need to burn it, and therefore, b'dievet, it's okay. But that's different from the next case, shel tikrovet avodat kochavim, something that was sacrificed for avodat kochavim. Mm-hmm. Now this is very difficult because what are you sacrificing? Shoes. People don't sacrifice shoes.
And once it's been sacrificed, how can you use it?
Ah, so it could be something that was offered but wasn't burned, or, right, in other words, it could be they would bring sacrifices that they didn't burn necessarily, so it was still in use. So now, some people say it was somehow like a part of things that were brought. Someone said maybe it was, we were talking about yesterday, that maybe a shoe, animals don't wear shoes. So, but here they say maybe a bull was wearing a shoe when they sacrificed the bull. It was like a shoe for the bull. Also strange. The Ramban has this interesting, and he's a little bit stuck because he says, even if, okay, Rashi says that we're talking about, that was the Rashi I wanted to read, Shehi kribu misaruhu lepanav l'shem doron. Okay, he brought it to the God as a present, to the Ovei Kochavim. Okay, and then we say v'kai malam. Rashi says tikrovet avodat kochavim en labitul olamit, as opposed to the shoe that belonged to the Ovei Kochavim while he was worshiping, that he can cancel. But this has no bitul olamit. Ramban has a problem because he says that if you bring something as a sacrifice to Ovei Kochavim, a non-Jew does, and it's not something that's normally sacrificed, then you don't need to burn it. Okay, and this shoe would be a perfect example. So he has trouble, and that's why he claims it was on the bull when they were doing it. It's a little hard to understand, but he's stuck because he has no other way to explain how could you possibly have such a situation. Okay, shel ir hanidachat, that's similar. This is a city where everybody goes to worship Avodah Zarah, and the halacha is the city and everything in it, all the property, has to be destroyed. So again, it's supposed to be destroyed. Shel zakena asur lechvodo. This is, again, there's different interpretations. The basic one is that it's talking about someone who they're preparing their death, their shrouds for the tachrifin, to dress him in. And once you set it aside for that, it can't be used for anything else. Okay? And then, so we're going to see, literally, that's not exactly accurate, what I just said, that it can't be used for anything else. There's a whole issue here, which I'm not going to get into all the details. Some people think that we're, nobody thinks this really, but you might have thought that what we're talking about here is isurei hana'ah. You can't get hana'ah from stuff that was done for avodah zarah. But the point here is that we're doing a mitzvah of chalitza, and we learned elsewhere that mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. So what does that mean? That means mitzvot are not for your benefit. You don't benefit from mitzvot. It's not, hana is physical pleasure. Mitzvot are not physical pleasure. So hana doesn't go together with mitzvah. So we're not talking about here getting hana'a. So like you might have thought with the dead guy, we're talking about, oh, well, this was set aside. Is that you can't get benefit from it? But that's not the issue, because mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. So it must be what the Gemara is going to say in a minute, that these shoes were never made for walking. And shoes, the definition of a shoe is it's meant for walking. Okay, so here we say, in all these last cases, from the tikrovet avodach v'chavim, the irani tachat, the zaken asol v'chvado, lo tachlot, v'im chaltzach alitata psula. Okay, if you were to do it, it's no good, because these are really not considered shoes. These are going to, either because they're going to be destroyed or because they're not considered shoes. So now, Amar le Rabbeinu le Rav Ashi, Maishna zaken ha'asoy lechvodo, de lav lihilucha avid, right? If the zaken ha'asoy lechvodo, what must be the issue? It must be because it wasn't meant for walking. Well, then, de beidina nami lav lihilucha avid. What did I show you? Picture of a chalitza shoe. What is a chalitza shoe? It's a shoe that the Beit Din uses for chalitza ceremonies. Is that shoe meant for walking? Okay? In other words, the designated shoe that we use for all the chalitzas is a shoe that's not designated for walking. So basically, the Gemara is asking, you can answer. I mean, there's answers to this, but they're saying this is a shoe just like the shoe you made for the zakein to die in, right? It's a shoe that's not made for walking. So why is one allowed and one not? So Amar Lei, ilu maske if the shliach beitin were to say, I need a pair of shoes, I'm borrowing the chalitza shoes for the night, I'll bring them back tomorrow, right? And he goes, would the dayanim stop him? No. In other words, this shoe can be used, potentially. Okay, we're going to actually get back to this later, this potential. Maybe the topic of today is all about potential, right? It can potentially be used. If it can be potentially used, even though it really is never used, because nobody really ever uses the shoe for anything, but the fact that it can be potentially used for walking is okay. But the one that we set aside for a dead person, that is never used for walking, and no one would ever use it for walking. Okay, matzniting. Chatsa balayla, new Mishnah. Chatsa balayla chalitza takshira. If you do chalitza at night, b'di'eved, it's kasher, meaning chalitza ceremony should be done during the day, but if you do them at night, it's okay. The Rabbi Elazar posel, okay, Rabbi Elazar says, no, chalitza at night doesn't work at all. B'smol, what if you did it with your left foot? Chalitza tapsula. The Rabbi Elazar machshir. Interesting, the Rabbi Elazar, right, machmir in one, mekel in the other, we'll see, maybe it's not exactly the case. Okay, so b'smol, if you do it with your left foot, now this means left shoe on the left foot, because we already learned, left shoe you put on your right foot, b'di'evet, that's okay. But left foot on the left foot, no good. Rabbi Elazar says, no, it's okay. So first we're going to start with the first one, the chalitza balayla. Lema b'haka miflige. Demar savar makshinan rivim l'nigaim. Umar savar lo makshinan rivim l'nigaim. Okay, what are we talking about here? There's a pasuk in Dvarim which talks about kol riv v'chol nega, okay? And it connects, you can see in Rashi, he quotes all the pasukim, okay? In the third line of Rashi here, it says l'nega'im, kol riv v'chol nega, okay? So now, this is the drasha. They say, the pasuk says kol riv v'chol nega. What does that mean? If they appear in the same pasuk, right, kol riv v'chol nega. So what are we going to say? That whatever's true for the nega is true for the riv. Okay, that's what we call the hekesh. There's going to be a machloket whether we do this hekesh or not. Okay, that's the machloket here. So now, what is riv? Riv, we're going to assume, is dinei mamonot. Okay? And nega is tzarat. So now, what's the pasuk by tzarat? It says, look in Rashi, ma nega'im ri'iatam biyom dechtiv ubiyom hera'ot bo. Okay, so nega'im, it says ubiyom. So therefore, we're going to learn from there that dine mamonot also have to take place during the day. So if you come to court, done dine mamonot, it can only be done during the day. So now we have to make one more jump, okay? So now we're going to have to say the chalitza is the same as mamonot. Now there's two different reasons to say this. Either chalitza has to do with the ketubah, because she can't get her ketubah from her husband until she does the chalitza. Right. Remember that? So she has to wait till chalitza is done, and then she can get her ketubah. So we would say, it's dine mamonot, basically, chalitza. Even though it's not really dine mamonot, right? Because it's really dine ishut. The other reason maybe is more convincing, which is that Mamon is done b'shlosha, and chalitza is done b'shlosha dayanim. It's got similar criteria, and therefore they would say to compare the two. So now this is going to be the machloket. Lema b'hakam miflegei. Demar savar makshinan rivim linegaim. Umar savar lo makshinan rivim linegaim. Okay, that's the machloket. Do we compare the two, or do we not compare the two? If we learn out rivim from negaim, then great, we're going to also learn chalitza. If we don't, then we're not. So then we'd end up saying you could do it at night. And they say, well, that's not the issue. By the way, whenever you see the word lema, okay, I don't know if it's 100, but I would say probably 99% of the times, maybe even 100%, it means, let's say this, and then they're going to reject it. And often it's lema kitanai, lema bahaka miflege. Let's say that this is based on the machlogatanim. Let's say this is what they're arguing about. Okay, and then they're going to reject it. Lo, de kule ama lo makshina rivim linigaim. Nami lo. Okay, now there's a halacha that's known that dine mamonot you're supposed to do during the day, but you can, if you started it during the day, you can finish it at night. Okay, you can do the psach din at night. So they say, therefore, everyone must agree we don't make this hakesh, because if we were going to make this hakesh, then it would be usher to do it even at night. You couldn't do the psach din at night, even if you started during the day, because nigaim could only be done during the day, and therefore, right, the kohen saying, okay, this is a nega, can only be done during the day. So therefore, the psach din of the mamonot, if we're going to compare them, should only be done during the day. So therefore, we say that can't be the machloket, because everybody agrees that that's the case. V'hacha v'hacha miflege. So now, what do we know? Okay, let's just get our facts. Mamon, okay, to start, you can do it during the day, but to finish, you can finish at night. So now the question is going to be, what's the difference between mamonot and chalitza? Mamonot starts out, you have a case, the two sides come, they start discussing, then the judge is paskin, right? Chalitza is a ceremony. It's just one act. It's not a beginning, a middle, and an end, or for these purposes, a beginning and an end. There's no beginning and end. So now the machloket's going to be, as you can probably guess, mar savar chalitza kitchilat din damya, umar savar chalitza kigmar din damya. Okay, is it like you're starting now because right, and then you can only start it during the day, or are we saying this once you do chalitza, you're finished? Like it is the psach din basically. So since it's the gmar din, you can even do it at night. So that's the machloket. Rabba brachia kitosfa, avid uvda b'mok b'yichidi ubalayla. Okay, he did a chalitza with a mok, which we saw before was the slipper, b'yichidi, meaning he didn't have three hedyotot, he did it by himself, and he did it balayla. Amar Shmuel, okay, sarcastically, kama rav guvrei da'avik yichida'a. How great is this person that he held by a da'at yachid, not to confuse the yichidi and the yichida'a. Yichidi means he did it by himself, and yichida'a means he held by a minority opinion. Okay, so now we want to figure out, which issue was it? Was it one? Was it two? Was it all three that were following a da'at yachid? My kasha, what was his question? Imok, if we're talking about a slipper, stamatanya, it already said in the Braita that a mok, if you remember, b'dievet, it's okay. Ilaila, stamatanya. Also, right, we saw, if you do it at night, the stam opinion here, right, the Tanakhama said, chalitzatak shera. Ela yachidi kakashile. Okay? That was the issue that bothered us. So now we want to know, hechi avi b'yichidi, right? Where do we find b'yichidi? D'yichida'a, katanela. In other words, where do we find the yichidi is a da'at yachid? D'tnan, this is actually our next Mishnah, so we're going to learn it later today because it comes up in the daf, but we'll learn it twice today. D'tnan, chalsa b'shnayim o b'shlosha. Okay, I don't know why this brings up shnayim or shlosha, because if it's shnayim, then you don't need shlosha. But okay. If you were to do chalitza b'shnayim o b'shlosha, v'nimtza echad mehem karov o pasul, and it turns out one of the judges were pasul le'edu, chalitzata psula. Okay, the chalitza is no good. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, Asandler, machshirim. They say it's no problem because you at least in the end had one, and b'dieved if you had one, it's okay. Okay, that's going to be our da'at yachid here. U'maaseh be'echad shechalatz beino lebeina be'beit ha'asurim. Ubama aser lefnei Rabbi Akiva v'hichshir. Okay, and there was a ma'aseh where a guy did chalitza in jail. Okay, the guy was in jail, and he did chalitza between him and his wife. Okay, between him and his yevama, right? And the ma'aseh came before Rabbi Akiva, and he said it's okay. Amar Rav Yosef bar Minyume Amar Rav Nachman Ein Halacha Ka'oto Azug. So here we have our Da'at Yachid. Okay, it's actually interesting, right? A Da'at Yachid is not necessarily Yachid. You see, it was the Zug, right? It was two people who thought it, but it's still considered, what does Yachid mean? It means Yachid means the minority opinion, right? Minority is a much better translation because it means just the Rabbim don't go that way. And yet, he did it. And that was what he was angry with him about. Okay, that's one explanation. Then we're going to have another one. V'ibayit Ema Kulhu Nami Yechida'a Katan Eliho. Okay, so now he's saying all of them, not just the issue, wasn't only the issue of the Yechidi, that he did it by himself. The issue was all three things. He did it with a slipper, he did it at night, and he did it by himself. And then how do you explain it? Ditanya Amar Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi, Ani ra'iti et Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, shechalatz b'mok b'yachidi u'balayla. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yosi, says, I saw Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha who did a chalitza with a sandal by himself and at night. Obviously, if he's telling us this, his point is that this is not the way we do it. In other words, this was he held by a da'at yachid. What he did was rare, was, you know, not typical. And the reason he's telling us this, right, is he wouldn't bother to tell us. If the only issue was Yechidi, he would have just said Yechidi. In other words, even if the guy did the other things. The point would be he wanted to make a point of what all the things he did that were
maybe his point is that you can add Sefik to
Sefik.
Like
Yafek. You know, right. Maybe he's trying.
One of them wouldn't be so bad because it's a Sefik. But even if you're with three Sefiks, you can still do it.
Right. That's definitely a good interpretation. Okay, I like that. That Donna's saying that you could say that if the point is he was mitzaref all these bidyevids, okay? And yet he did it. It's also interesting here, he says, I saw him do it. It doesn't say whether he, right, when in our case, when he saw him do it, he said this was a bad thing that he did. Like, who is he to say I can hold by these minority opinions? In the bright here, it's not clear that he was necessarily negative about it. And it could be that really this doesn't have to do with anything. But I think the fact that all three things appeared exactly the same is enough for the Gemara to think that maybe that was the case.
If you saw him do it, then he wasn't alone.
If you saw him do it, he wasn't alone. That's a good point. But Yechidi could also mean with one person. Could be he was the only person who saw him do it. Could be. Okay, right. It's a good question. How do you understand Yechidi? Is Yechidi by himself or is Yechidi with, right, like the case in jail sounded like the guy was with himself, by himself. There was nobody there, but it's a good question. Okay, Bismol Chalitzata Psula, right? And Rabbi Elazar Machshir. So now, if you remember, we said Rabbi Elazar flipped here, right? The first case, Rabbi Elazar was more Machmir. Here, Rabbi Elazar is more Mekah. So keep that in mind. So now we want to know my time at Rabbana and the Chalitza Bismol. Amar Ula, Yalfina Rega Rega Mi Mitzora. Ma Lahalan Diyamin, Af Kan Diyamin. Okay, when it comes to the Mitzora, it says Regel. Okay, right? And it says a million times. You put the dam al regel bohen raglo hayimanit. And you put the, right? And then they repeat regel hayimanit many, many times. They say, regel appears. There, regel appears in our pasuk. Very simple. Gzer shava, regel, regel. Just like that's yamin, where it says explicitly, then it must be yamin here. For Rabbi Elazar, lo yalef regel, regel mimitzorah. Oh, so now they're going to ask. For Rabbi Elazar, lo yalef regel, regel mimitzorah. He doesn't have this drasha. The Hatanya, doesn't it say in a brayta, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Minayan the Ritsua, what's the Ritsua? When you do the ear, right? You pierce the ear of the Eved Ivri. Now, what ear do you pierce? Shehiba Ozen Hayimanit. How do you know that? Because Ne'amar Khan Ozen, V'ne'amar Lahalan Ozen. Remember the Mitzvah he has to do on Boen Yadoa Yimanit, and he also has to do it on his earlobe, right? They put the dam on his earlobe. So there it says Ozen, and by the Ritzia it says Ozen, and by the Mitzvah it says Ozen Hayimanit. So Ma Lahalan Yimin, Af Khan Yimin. So now, if Rabbi Elazar darshan's Ozen Ozen, he must also darshan Regel Regel, okay? There's no reason to think that you should darshan Ozen Ozen and not Regel Regel. That's the assumption of the Gemara. So now we're going to have two possible answers. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mukhlefet Hashita. Okay? And if you remember this, I think it was in Eruvin. There was like page after page, there were whole like five pages where they kept bringing up these Mishnayot and Braytot, and they kept saying, oh, it's switched. Like there was a lot of confusion as to who said what. Okay? I don't know if you know, like I used to have this when we'd study vocabulary words. Sometimes you would get confused whether a word is itself or its opposite. That ever happened to you? Like sometimes you know something has associated with something, but you can't remember which direction it's associated with. So they knew that Rabbi Elazar was a Baal Machloket about this issue, but it was just a confusion whether he was the one who was Mekel or Machmir. So they said, you have a bad Masoret, and really Rabbi Elazar would, would possible in this case, which then also makes more sense in the context of the Mishnah. Because machmir in one is going to be machmir in the other. Rava amar la'olam lo tipuch. Don't start flipping the shitot. There's no reason to say that. Ozen, ozen, mufne. Rega, rega, lo mufne. Ah, now we're going to have a reason why we would darshan ozen, ozen. We wouldn't darshan rega, rega. This is because we've learned this before. In order to make a drasha, it has to be available, right? So it's available, but rega, rega isn't available, right? One is, one isn't. Now, remember that we learned that if it's mufne from one side and not from the other, so you can learn it, but lomdim aval mishivin. What does that mean? You can learn it, just right, even if it's not available. But if it's not totally available, one side isn't available, if you have a question on it, you can knock it down. So the assumption here is that it's available on one side, not on the other side, and therefore he knocked it down. So now we have to say, well, how did he knock it down? In other words, what would be the logic to say this isn't a good gzeira shava to make? Okay, where's our argument? Now, in order to say that, what's always the gisha? We're going to say there's something unique about this halacha that's not true about the other one. Okay, so now we're going to say, so v'chilo mufne my pircha, what my pircha ika? What question can we have? Ika lemifrach mala mitzora shekein taun eitz eres ve'ezov u'shni tolat. Right, you have to do a whole procedure with the mitzora. You have to take a whole bunch of substances, put them together, right? And that doesn't exist, right? It has a unique halacha about the eitz eres ve'ezov u'shni tolat, and because of that, we're not going to learn from there to our case. When it comes to the ozen ozen, you can learn it because they're mufne. So you can't ask a question if it's mufne. But in our case, the regel isn't mufne from one side, and therefore you can ask this question, and therefore you could say we can't learn from mitzora to our case. So even though Rabbi Elazar darshan ozen ozen, he wouldn't necessarily darshan regel regel. Okay, I'm going to stop here for a minute. I'm going to take a break and talk about some questions that were raised yesterday about that Donna asked about the shoe and why the shoe. So I started looking up and I said, you know what? I did some search on the internet. I found nothing. Anyway, then I said, let me open up Perushim on the Torah because that's really where it's going to be. So I went straight to Shadal because Shadal, Shmuel David Luzzatto, is an Italian parshan from, I think 1800s. He's got very interesting Perushim in general, unique. And so I said, let me go look there. So anyway, he says here, look in the Shut Maharam Bar Baruch, Siman Shinayim Vav, okay, which is the Maharam Mirotenberg. So he says, go look in his shoot, and the notes in the book here bring the shoot. Okay? This really says, I think this is great. Okay? This is about why we use the shoe, why she spits. Okay? Again, this is a parshanut, but I thought it was a very good parshanut. So he says here, okay. Korah kemo ish, okay, so here, v'im hayu banim me'ish acher, okay. Korah v'korei choletzet v'rokeket v'korah. This is going to be the intro to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is going to talk about the three things you have to do. Choletzet, rokeket, and korei. Right? She has to say this me'ein yivmi, right? He doesn't want to accept me, and then he has to say, right, I'm not, first he says, I don't want to do chalitza, then she says, he's me'ein, and etc. And then she takes off the shoe and she spits. So now they say, Korah kemo isha sherotza lahakim zera lameit. She calls out like a woman who wants to fulfill, right, to fulfill her husband's legacy. Umikonenet lefnei adayanim. And she cries out like a kina, right, like the before the dayanim. Ela ve'elohe ba'ala kemeit b'li zachar. Okay, she says, my husband died without any children. V'hu omer lo chafatzti lekachta, I don't want to marry her. Im yihye kemet eni choshesh. If this guy's going to die, and she's saying, my husband, obviously he's dead already, right? But what's she saying? If you don't do this, my husband's going to be even more dead than he was, right? He's really, this is it, he's finished. End of his life for good. And the guy says, "Im yeh kamed eni choshesh, I don't care, right? It's not important to me." Az tachlots raglo liyolo siman she'achshav yit'abel alachiv. He has to take off his shoe. Why? Because he has to have a veil for his brother, which totally makes sense now. Yesterday's stuff that we were learning it from dinei avelut. Okay, so he has to have a loop from his brother. Kevan she'ein rotzel akim loshem hareu kemedu batel min haolam. Okay, he's basically. Rendered the husband more dead, right? So it's a siman of avelut. V'achar kach rokeket, then she spits. Why? L'hodia lakol shelo b'shvil yofyo ratzta li'naseh lo. She wants everyone to know that I didn't want to marry him because of his good looks. Ach b'shvil ha'akim lo zera leba'ala. So what's the rok? Shaharei kirok nechshav be'eneha. This guy is a lowlife in her mind because he didn't want to, right? He basically killed her husband, is what she's saying. So she spits on him to say, you are a worthless, you know. Ba'amra, kacha ye'aseh. Beholech yachef kivinhag avel. And then he goes barefoot like the avel. Al shelo ratza lakim shem lachi, va'az yasu lo boshet v'yikar'u lo chalutz hanal gimel pa'amim. Okay? And then what I saw was interesting somewhere else. I have to remember now where I saw it. Again, does it say it here? Oh, right. So then the Shaddal himself says, on Binikra Shmo, he says, right, well, then we say, we call his name Beit Chalutz Hanal. Now remember in Rut, what happens? They call him Ploni Almoni. Right. And that's what he says. And as this guy loses his name, basically, when we say, we call him now the Beit Chalutz Hanal, he doesn't have a name anymore. And then, why is that? Because he basically took away the name of the brother. So now we take away his name as a punishment, okay? So, right, Yimacheshmo, he even says, right? Ad kedei kach, Yimacheshmo. Ubanav lo yikaru al shmo, ach yunikraim b'nei chalutz hanal. His sons don't get called in his name because he wouldn't continue his it's a very good perush. I like it a lot. And then he quotes Megillat Rut also with Ploni Almoni. Okay, so on that note, we'll start the next Mishnah, which is which of the chalitza, rikika, and kriah, which, if they didn't happen, is the chalitza still okay? Okay, what's critical and what's less critical? Yeah, what do you want to say?
I just want to add one thing.
Yeah.
I heard a parsha last week about Moshe and the sneh.
Okay.
And the first thing he asks is for him to take off his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about, like, where in the Torah are they meant? Do they mention that you have to take off your shoes? And one of those obvious is chalitza. And there it's a message of humility.
Right, so you're the same thing now.
Yeah.
Right, it's connected with humility.
Yeah.
Like you're basically taking off your...
Like the most valuable, a person's identity is like, or their wealth,
shoes.
Or everything is in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most expensive piece of clothing. And it was just,
right, so that's what we were suggesting yesterday. We were debating whether it's true, whether shoes are really the most expensive piece of clothing or not. Right, right.
Well, that's certainly one of them.
Definitely one of them. Depends where you shop. Okay. Chalitza v'rakika, aval lo kara. Let's say you did chalitza, you did rakika, but you didn't read the text, right? You didn't say what you were supposed to say. Chalitza tak shera, it's okay. Kara v'rakika, aval lo chalitza. Let's say you did the kriya, you did the rakika, but you didn't do the chalitza. You can figure this one out. Chalitza tak psula, right? If you didn't take off the shoe, well, that's no good. Chalitza v'kara, aval lo rakika. Okay, so we can understand saying the words maybe wouldn't be ma'akev. We can understand that not taking off the shoe would be ma'akev, okay? But what about the spit? Rabbi Elazar omer chalitzata psula. Again, you see he's more machmir, right? And Rabbi Akiva omer chalitzata kshera. Okay, we saw also Rabbi Akiva was mekel in the case of how many dayanim, right? If you did it in front of one, he said it would be okay.
Also the case we just saw by playing, you know, her being among the brothers and she accidentally took off the shoe.
Ah.
And they said it's a good, it could be.
Right, it could be still good.
So
yep, yeah. Right, right, and yet he considers it.
But
yeah.
It's weird, because the Torah specifically says you have to spit, so how can you take part of it and not other parts?
So the point is, what if you did some of it, which is more important? Even according to the Torah, there might be, right, a level of hierarchy of what's critical and what's less critical. So yeah, it has to happen, but if you didn't do it, it would still be a good chalitza. So Amar Le Rabbi Elazar. So what's the basis for the machloket? Rabbi Elazar says, here's interesting, the Mishnah even says it, right? Usually the Gemara says, oh, what's his reason? But here the Mishnah says it. Kacha ye'aseh. Kol davar shehum ma'aseh ma'akev. Okay, anything that's a ma'aseh. So the kriah is a dibur. Usually dibur is not considered ma'aseh. Right? Like we call certain things a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. And what's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh? Often speaking, right? Like an eid sheker, right? Eid zomim is called a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. Okay, kol davar shuma aset would be ma'akev. So the rikika is a ma'aset. Amar le Rabbi Akiva misham ra'aya. You misunderstood the pasuk. Kacha yaseh la'ish. Kol davar shuma aset be'ish. The rikika happens to his shoe, not to him. The chalitza happens to him, right? You take it off from his foot, and then she spits in front of him, but that doesn't happen to him directly. So there's two sections to this Mishnah. That was the first section. Now we're going to have a second section. We'll see the sections of the Mishnah get a little confused after in the Gemara. Hachiresh shenichlatz, vachireshet shechaltza, v'choletzet lekatan, chalitzata psula. Someone deaf, okay, who does chalitza, someone who deaf, who chalitza is done to her, and a katan, who does chalitza, Chalitza tapsula, okay? Her chalitza doesn't work. Ktana shechalitza tachlot mishetagdil. If a ktana does chalitza, she has to redo it. Vim lo chalitza, when she gets older, chalitza tapsula, it's also no good. Chalitza b'shnayim o b'shlosha, here's our mishnah that we already learned a few minutes ago. If she does it b'shnayim o b'shlosha v'nimtza chamehem karovo pasul chalitza tapsula. Okay, if they do it before two or three, and one of them is karovo pasul, it's no good. Rabbi Shimon, right? Meaning you need all three to be good dayanim in order for the chalitza to be good. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan, Asandlar, Machshirim. They say it's no problem. Okay, if one of them or two of them ended up no good and you end up with only one or two, it's fine. Umaseh be'echad shechalatz be'no lebe'na be'beit hasurim ubama selach ne'rabbi Akiva be'hechshir. Okay, now we're going to go back to the beginning of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if you don't do the kriya, the chalitza is still good. So what does he want to learn from here? I'm just going to preface. Rava's going to say something. Then we're going to basically end up rejecting what he says and saying it must be that wasn't what Rava said, and Rava said something different from our Mishnah. And that's why I said the beginning of the Mishnah and the end of the Mishnah are going to get confused. First they thought that he darshaned something from the first section of the Mishnah, and then they say, no, we misunderstood. He actually darshaned something from the second section, and what he darshaned was the exact opposite. Okay? So, again, we seem to have a lot of confusion today about what people said, and did they say itself and its opposite, right? Okay. Amar Rava, hashta de'amart kriya lo ma'akva. Since we just established that the kriya is not ma'akev, right? Everyone knows what ma'akev is. It means if you didn't do it, then it's still good. So if the kriya is not, let's put it in other words, essential to the process of chalitza, then lefichach ilem bi'ilemet shechaltzu chalitzatang shera, if someone's mute, okay, they can't speak, it should matter for chalitza because you don't have to say the text, right? You might have thought to say, oh, you have to say a text here. If someone can't speak, they can't do the tekes. But what do you learn here? That no, since the kriya isn't ma'akevet, therefore, their chalitza should be okay. So now they say, wait, but tnan chereshe nechlatz v'chereshe tchaltza v'cholatze min hakatan chalitza ta psula. My time, alav mishum delav b'nei kriya ninhu. Okay, here we're going to compare now the deaf, mute, and the deaf, right? We talked about this in Chagiga. We compared, are they the same, are they not the same? Okay, so in the end, there were distinctions made between someone who just can't talk and someone who can't hear and can't talk. So now, what do we say? Is it, they're actually machlokot, but do we distinguish or do we not distinguish? My lab mishum de lab b'nei kriyaninu, is it not that the deaf person can't do it because they can't speak? So then they say, lo, that's not why. It's mishum de lab b'nei de'aninu. It's because they don't have intelligence, okay? Now again, there was a whole thing, if you recall, there were those two deaf guys who were sitting in the shir and they heard the shir year after year, and then finally they were cured and they could speak, and all of a sudden they said everything, and you know, they said, oh my God, I guess, right, this is a good proof that deaf people aren't stupid. So anyway, you see here that there was differences of opinion, and you know, what, how do we treat them? So they say the issue with them is not that they can't speak, it's that they're not b'nei de'aninu. Okay, so now they say, wait, ihachi ilem v'ilemet nami. So ilem v'ilemet should be the same category as chiresh in terms of da'at. They also don't have da'at because they can't speak. So amarava, no, ilem v'ilemet b'nei de'aninu, upumayuhu dekaivlu. And ilem and ilemet are considered intelligent people. It's just they have a problem with their mouths and they can't speak, right? Obviously, they didn't understand exactly, right, where it comes from. Is it their mouth exactly? But anyway, they said the problem is it's a technical problem, but it's not an intelligence problem. Okay, so now the Gemara, so at this point they've established the deaf person can't do it because they don't have da'at. The lame person therefore should be able to do it because they have da'at. And that's the issue that's kovei, and it has nothing to do with whether or not they can speak this text or not. But then they say, wait a minute, but you're missing something. V'ha'amre debe Rabbi Yana, don't they say in the house of Rabbi Yana, l'fi she'eno be'amar ve'amra. The reason a cheresh and a cheresha can't do it is because they can't do what it says in the Torah, that he says amar and she says amra. So it does have to do with the fact that they can't say this text is what postles them. So therefore they say it must be that the issue is this. And therefore, if they're not, even though b'dieved, it works if you do the kriya, right? Even if you didn't do the kriya, still, the cheresh and cheresha can't do it because they can't do amar v'amra, and therefore we obviously have to jump to the conclusion against what we thought Rava said, that Ilem and Ilemet also can't do it, okay? Because they're also not Ba'amar Vamra. They also can't speak. And therefore, they're going to say now, Elaki Itmar Durava, what Rava said was not about this, okay? It wasn't on the first part of the Mishnah that talked about Kriya B'Dieved is okay, right, without the Kriya. Okay, what do you want to ask?
I was going to ask if it's B'Dieved or, like, go into it knowing that they can't.
Ah, so wait, hold on. So now they're going to say, Ki Itmar Durava Asefa. When he said what he said, he was referring to the second part of the Mishnah, which talks about the Chayresh and the Chayreshah directly. I want to be very clear. The first part, what they said, right? And let me just, this is why I said, when we learn the Mishnah, there's two parts. The first part talks about Kriya, and right, Kriya lo ma'akev, okay, lo ma'akevet. And the second part talks about the Chayresh and the Chayreshah. Okay, that, Chalitzatan Psula. So now, first they tried to learn it from the Kriya lo ma'akevet. But then they said no, because even though the Kriya is not Ma'akevet, we have this unique halacha, the Chayresh and Chayreshah have to be able to say Amar or Amra, and therefore, since they can't, they're Pasul, and therefore the Ilaim also, since he can't, he should be Pasul. So now when Rava said it, he said it on the second part, which is the Chayresh and the Chayreshah Chalitzatam Pasula. And what did Rava add? Okay, now Rava says, Amar Rava, Hashtada Amar Kriya Ma'akva. So now he says, so even though you said that the Kriya, sorry, now that you're saying, based on the Chayresh and the Chayreshet, Chalitzatam Psula, you're basically saying that the Kriya is Ma'akev, that your ability to do the Kriya is Ma'akev. And therefore, that's why I said that today's shiur is about potential, right? Your potential to do Kriya is Ma'akev. Not the, whether you did it or not is a separate thing. But you have to have potential to be able to read. Maybe you forgot to do the reading. Maybe, you know, you were speechless at that moment, couldn't get the words out. But you have to, in theory, be potentially able to speak. And since that's the case with the Chayresh and the Chayreshet, l'pichach ilayim ve'ilayim v'shechotzu chalitzatam psula. So now we're saying that Rav said the exact opposite. That the ilayim and the ilayim are exactly like the Chayresh for these purposes. U'matnitin k'Rabbi Zera. And then you have to say that the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Zera. Da'ama Rabbi Zera. In a different case, he's talking about when you do the mincha, what do? You mix the solet and the shemen. Now, what does he say here? You have to put it in a bowl, okay, in a kli, to mix it. Now, you can only put up to 60 esronim in a bowl, okay? It's a certain measurement. Any more than that, what's going to happen? You have to mix it. Balul b'shemen. Balul is to mix, right? We always say that in the balul b'shemen b'nisko. So now, it has to be kol ha-ra'oy le-bila, ein bila ma'akevet bo. B'chol she'ein ra'oy le-bila, bila ma'akevet. What is he saying? If you can potentially mix this, okay, let's say you stuck your stuff in the bowl, your flour and your shemen, and you didn't mix it. That's okay. But if you put it in a bowl, you put more than 60 esronim into this kli. The kli was obviously a particular size, and 60 esronim was the amount that they felt could potentially be mixed. And you put more flour than that and more solet than that in the bowl, it can't possibly be mixed, right? What's going to happen? It's going to make a big mess. Everything's going to fall over, right? You ever try to put too much flour in the mixing bowl? It just doesn't work. So if you can't potentially mix it, then it's no good, okay? So therefore, that's what our Mishnah is based on, the same logic. While it's true that the Kriya isn't Ma'akev, but your ability to be Korei is Ma'akev. You have to potentially be allowed to do the Kriya, be able to do the Kriya. If you can't, then it's no good. Okay. Shachule lavua de Shmuel. Yevama shirakaka tachlots. Okay, if a Yevama, let's say she, right. This is a separate thing. Remember we talked about what if she took off his shoe, the case Donna was referring to earlier. If she took off a shoe at some point earlier, right, then what do we say? Oh, well, you removed your shoe at some point, maybe that counts b'dieved as chalitza, and therefore we now have an isser of lo yakim, that no one now can do yibum with her, none of the brothers. So here we also have another case. What if she spits at him at some point? Okay, so Yevama Shirakaka on one of the brothers, Tachlots. She's still allowed to do, she has to do Chalitza. She can't do Yibum anymore with any of the brothers. Just like if Chalitza, right, we're again comparing, what's the status of the Rikikas compared to the Chalitza? So they're saying it's significant enough that if she were to have spit at him at some point earlier, she can now no longer do the mitzvah of Yibum with any of the brothers. So now they say, Michlal, right, from the line that he said, we can infer to Ifsala la Me'achim, right, that she's now puzzled from all the brothers. They can't do Yibam with her. So they say, Mani, who is this according to? Ilema Rabbi Akiva. If you're going to say this, like Rabbi Akiva, who said it, right? Why Rabbi? Which Rabbi Akiva were we referring to? Because Rabbi Akiva said, right, why do we want to suggest first it's Rabbi Akiva? Right, because Rabbi Akiva said, right, we're talking about the 2 day oath in our Mishnah. Rabbi Akiva said, Chalitzataz Ksheira, right, that Rekika isn't essential, right? So now we're saying, if you want to say it's Rabbi Akiva, that certainly can't make any sense. Why? Uma bimkom mitzvah, di'ika lameimar, midi dehavia imurim, dechileinu lo ma'akve, v'kiti'itnuhu ma'akve, ama Rabbi Akiva lo ma'akva, az me'achim ifsela. What's the case here? They want to say, right, what they're basically saying in the end is that Rabbi Akiva says, Rekika b'dievet isn't even, right, if you didn't do the Rekika, right, it's not Makev. So now they're saying, let's go like this. We have two different Rekikot here that we're discussing. We're comparing two different ones. Which one, right, there's Rekika d'Rishut and Rekika d'Mitzvah. Rekika d'Mitzvah is the one we do during the ceremony of Chalitza. Now, in that case, what did he say? It's Loma Akev, right? So if he says that Rekika b'mitzvah is Loma Akev, you think in a Rekika d'Rishut where she just stomped spit, it's going to now potzel her to the brothers? That's like a huge jump, right? So they say it a little more detailed than that, okay? They're saying in the case of a mitzvah, you might have compared it to the imurim. Now, what's with the imurim? The imurim are the fatty parts of the meat, of the animal that we burn on the mizbeach with the korban, okay? You bring a korban, and there's these fatty parts that you have to burn separately. Now, what's the halacha with imurim? Tekileit nehu lo ma'akve, okay? But ki'it nehu ma'akve. Let's say they became tameh, okay? Or they got lost, okay? You separated the stuff, right? You took the fatty parts off. You were going to burn them on the mizbeach. Somehow, somebody took them on, and you can't find them. It's not ma'akve the korban. Okay, when they're lost, they're not there, it's not ma'akev. But when they're there, if the imurim are in front of your face, then you have to, if you don't burn them on the mizbeach, your whole korban is no good. So now you would have thought that Rekika Mitz was the same thing. If she's there and she doesn't spit, right, it would be ma'akev. And what does Rabbi Akiva say? No. She might be there and she does the chalitza, but she didn't do the Rekika for some reason, it's not ma'akev. So since we in a Rekika mitzvah, where we would have thought to compare it to the imurim, that if she's there and she doesn't do it, it would be ma'akev. Okay, we don't say that. So if Rabbi Akiva doesn't even think in that case it's ma'akev, he certainly isn't going to make her apostle to the brothers just because she happened to spit the spitting of her shoot. As if he doesn't give enough significance to the Rekika mitzvah, he's certainly not going to give that much significance to a Rekika derishut. So now, Ela l'Rabbi Elazar, v'ha shnei dvarim ha-mitirim ninu. What does this mean? According to Rabbi Elazar, how do you do chalitza? You have to do, according to him, what are the basics? You have to do chalitza and rekika. It's no good if you just did one. So now what does this teach you? This is a case where there's two things that matir someone. Usually to matir something, there's one act, right? And then that, like for example, you give a get, the woman's mutar. That's one thing. Here you have to do two. You have to do rekika and chalitza. So now, shnei dvarim ha-mitirim ein ma'alim ze b'lo ze. If you have two things that are matir, one is not significant without its partner. Okay? So now, where does this lead you to say? It can't be Rabbi Elazar who says that if she spits, then it apostles her to marry the brothers, because her spitting alone is nothing. Right? It has to have its partner with it. So, Ella, it must be Kirebi. D'tanya, kivsei atzeret, ein mekatshin halechem ela b'shchita levad. Ela b'shchita. Okay, what are we talking about now? When you bring the korban, shtei alechem, on Shavuot, you have to bring, you do the shtei alechem with the kvasim. Okay? So now, ketzad. Okay, now here it says, ein mekatshin halechem ela b'shchita. The lechem doesn't become, okay, now what happens? Remember, we've talked about this before, that there's two levels of kedusha when you make something kadosh for the Beit HaMikdash. There's kedusha kedushat damim, that the value of it is kadosh, but meaning you can transfer the kedusha onto coins and then use the coins instead, and it removes the kedusha from it. Or you could have kedushat haguf, where the item itself becomes kadosh, the goof of the object, which means you can never do pidyon, okay? There's all sorts of halachot that come along with that. It's a higher status. So this lechem doesn't acquire kedushat haguf until you shech the kivtzei atzeret. Ketzad. So what are we talking about? What does this mean? Shchatan lishmam v'zarak damam lishmam kidesh halechem. Okay? If you did it lishma and you zarak damam lishma, so then the lechem would become kadosh, the shtei lechem. Shachat shalo lishman, v'zarak lishman, lo kidesh alechem. If you did something wrong in the process of the shechita and the zrika, okay, let's say the shechita was no good, but the zrika was good, the lechem is not kadosh. Shchatan lishman, v'zarak damam shalo lishman, kadosh ve'eino kadosh. Divrei Rebbe. Okay? So this means that it's, right, it's, one second. Right, it's kadosh. One second. It's kadosh b'kdushat haguf ve'eino kadosh. Okay, now it's like this in between. If you did the shechita lishma, so it does mekadesh the lechem, but it's also lo kadosh in the sense that you can't eat it. Okay, you won't be able to eat this because you didn't do the korban right. That's what Rabbi says. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon omer lo'olam eino kadosh ad sheyishchot lishman v'yizrok damam lishman. Okay, and therefore, what do you see here? That when there's two things that are matir, sometimes even if one of them isn't done proper, right? If one of them is done properly, like the shechita, it has enough to be mekadesh kedushat haguf, right? It does make it kedushat haguf. It just doesn't allow you to eat it. This is the perfect comparison to our case, because what did we say? This woman, she spit at one of the brothers. Now, what do we say about this? She's now ushered to the brothers, just like we say Kedushat HaGuf, but now is in a higher status of Kedusha, and it's forbidden to, you can't do pidyon, you can't, right? Has this higher level of Kedusha that makes it a more chamor din. So this woman now, she spit, she only did half the process, but what do we say? She's now forbidden to mekayim yibum with all the brothers. But what doesn't it do for her? Just like there, it doesn't allow you to eat it, doesn't allow her to marry. It doesn't count for chalitza that she's now free to marry anyone she wants. So Rebbe's opinion matches perfectly. That here we have a case where there's two mitirim, the shechita and the zrika have to be done lishman. And he says if you only have one of them, it's enough to be machmir, but not to be matir, basically to osir of a lola hatir. Okay.